a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. But call me illogical, I just don't care. Hey, 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 hey. It's just a sunny day.
Hey, 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 it's a sunny day.
It's just a sunny day.
Hey. The KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse Show. Maria Chalaos, Ton Bettis with you this morning. Taking your calls 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500. Tomorrow is Father's Day. If you need a little bit of extra help, Ton, you've come up with some ideas for fathers for gifts.
Well, we hopefully have an article posting soon. I think
it's up.
Did.
It's up and ready
Very
to go.
Very good. Mm-hmm. So Father's Day is always tough because I think it's hard with anybody, but what do you buy for somebody, you know? So this article I found, some of the things in there are a little more expensive, some less, but it looked like things that people that like to garden and work in the yard would enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
So one of them that was on the more expensive side is an electric wheelbarrow.
An electric wheelbarrow?
Yes. Double tired, so it won't tip as easily. I looked these up on
that.
Yes, I want that. You can look them up on Amazon. They start around $450 to $500.
Oh, my. Okay.
So they're not inexpensive, but if you have somebody that, for whatever reason, due to health, can't really work in the yard, but they want to, you know, this would be something as an assistive device that could keep them working in the yard. So there is that aspect to it, but if you, like, Maria, I've been prepping my yard, finally, some sections of it, and I've hauled, I think, 25 wheelbarrows just out of
wow.
one sidewalk of just rocks.
That's a
that
lot
doesn't
of work.
Another 25
oh.
wheelbarrows of soil. And there's times that I think the $500 wheelbarrow would have been worth every penny.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one. But on the less expensive end, a hat, you know, a hat that has cooling vents on it that will keep the sun off of you. I know that I've already been sunburned two or three times. I really like that idea. And you can pick those up for $10 or $20. You know, garden claw weeders to pruning shears we've talked about, I think, every time this comes up. But there's so many things out there that I think, and maybe I'm overgeneralizing here, but men generally like practical things. And so if they would use it a lot, I think it would make a good gift.
All right. And any other fun stuff for us?
Well, I mean, I could just go on my wish list of everything I want.
Okay, give us the next thing on your wish list, and then people can go check out the article.
Well, on my wish list would be actually a snowblower. Even though we haven't had a lot of snow the last few years, there sometimes the snow gets to a point that, especially for people that have bad hearts or whatever, that would be nice. And even though it's the middle of the summer, you might be able to find them on clearance.
Hmm.
So that would be something that's a little bit more out there, but that's, I may look at that. But for me, I think you know, the other thing, because I've been working in my yard, I'm a pretty practical person, a nice wheelbarrow, even if it's not motorized, dual tires on it so it doesn't tip, with a good capacity. And so I think that would be really useful too.
You know, I think it's interesting how wheelbarrows have changed over the years. They used to be these heavy, clunky metal things, and now I have a plastic, more of a plastic type wheelbarrow that's light but still really sturdy, and they make a huge difference in trying to garden.
They really do. I bought one from my local hardware store last year, and they had some for less money, but I think I paid around $80, which isn't a lot considering how expensive wheelbarrows can get. But I have just been absolutely thrilled with it. It's plastic, but it's been very durable. And with it being a little lighter and those dual tires on the bottom, very few tips, and just really nice to push around.
I used to have a very heavy metal one that was more like a wagon that I had bought, and I tried to haul a lot of stuff in it, and I have a very steep driveway, and I'm just going to let you guess at what happened one time.
Did you get pulled down the driveway?
It ran me down almost.
Oh,
no. It almost pinned me between the the wheelbarrow and the mailbox. So, you know what? These things have come so far, and they are really so helpful and save your back, but make sure you buy the right kind.
Yes, do. And then for Father's Day tomorrow, I mean, there's nothing wrong with just friends and family and having a good day. I think that I know in my family, we oftentimes worry too much about the present and not just being there and just having a good day with whoever you're celebrating.
Right. But it's nice to have some great ideas if you want to get something extra for Dad. So you can check out the article on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page. And you'll also find on that page the Dig Around Town calendar. So if you heard something that's coming up that you were interested in, you can check out that there as well. The number to call with your questions this morning, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. Marie, your call coming up next.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas,
in the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Thank you for spending your Saturday morning with the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Anton with you, taking your questions at 801-575-8255. You can also text them at 57500. Tana, Carla is wondering how to kill termites without harming her pets, and she's wondering, do they have white coloring?
Yeah, termites are white. And, you know, it's one of those things that the treatments for termites are not really going to be where near your pets are. So I don't know that there's going to be a great concern, but if you have termites, you need to get a professional called because you don't want those damaging the structure of your house. So, you know, that can be a really bad thing.
Right. Okay. Marie is on the line from West Valley. Good morning, Marie. Marie, are you there?
For the show.
Go ahead. What is your question this morning?
I have some beautiful hollyhocks this year, but something is eating the leaves until they look lacy. So it must be something at night that's eating those.
So what's your question again? I apologize.
I have some beautiful hollyhocks.
Okay.
But something is eating the leaves really bad.
Okay. So there is a hollyhock. Oh, I'm getting a lot
Hang
of feedback.
Hang on a second, Marie.
I apologize.
You want to turn down your radio and just listen on the phone because you're getting that feedback from that.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
No worries.
Okay.
Okay, that's better. So you have
Thank
something
you.
Eating your hollyhocks. There's a couple
the
of different.
Leaves.
the leaves, beetles that will do that. One thing you could try doing is just like a spinosad spray to see if that would knock it out.
Or
spinosad, like Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew. Yeah, or if you just have a general lawn insect, like a, not a lawn insecticide, but a general yard and garden insecticide, you could try spraying with that too.
Okay, I get them every year. I don't see anything on them, but they look so pretty. And then, you know, overnight, several days, they just about ruined them. So, okay, so a general insecticide or that spoke?
Yeah.
I can't spell that one, but Captain Jack. Okay.
Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew. No, it's probably a weevil. There's a few different things it could be, but a general insecticide or like Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew should knock it out. You may need to spray once a week for 2 or 3 weeks, but it should do the job.
And do I spray under the leaves or just give it a general spray?
I would do it underneath and on top.
Okay. Okay. Sounds good. I'm going to give it a try.
All right. Thanks for your call this morning. Next listener, Ton, says they have a hillside covered with wild rose bushes. They've tried digging them out with no success. They just come back. Any idea what they can do to help kill off those rose bushes?
A brush and stump killer would probably do the trick. They would need to make sure that there's no temperature restrictions, but if they were to cut them and then apply it to the base of the plants, to the canes they cut, I think that would do the job.
Okay, and next listener says they have several areas with 3-inch shapes. They're wondering if they have a grub problem. The lawn doesn't seem loose when they try to pull on the blades.
Well, if they're just 3 inches wide and not spreading, I don't want to sound like, well, the moon was out and then a black cat crossed under a ladder and... You know, that would more indicate to me maybe something was spilled. It could be the beginnings of a disease. It's really hard to say because when I hear my lawn is brown, what that really says is I need to investigate further. And they've done something as far as knowing that it's not insect and it's probably not drought because you would see wider patches of the lawn, which leads me to more something, maybe something was spilled. You know, such as, you know, gas leaking from a lawnmower that may be causing it. And if, especially if those spots are not spreading any further, they might want to check their equipment to make sure, or if they hire it out to make sure that there's nothing like that that happened.
All right. Next listener says they are expanding their garden and they've run into a lot of tree roots and they're trying to plant new shrubs and vegetables, but they want to know, is there a way for them to tell whether these tree roots are coming from their neighbor's junk trees or from their own fruit trees?
Sometimes it's really hard. They could try to follow the roots, but the roots just don't grow in straight lines like a spider web or spokes from a wagon wheel, and it can be quite difficult. You know, one thing that they can try doing is trenching along the tree line or along the fence line, and then, you know, anything coming under the fence, you know, they could follow those and pull those out, but it can be extremely difficult.
All right. Next listener is Susan and Sandy. Good morning, Susan. What is your question?
Hello. I have a tree. It's about high, quite an older tree, but it, the last couple of years in the summer, we have a lot of yellow leaves falling on the ground. Just the last couple of years, it's about 30 feet high, and I think it's a poplar. Do you think it's getting too much water, maybe not enough?
Well, it's really common in the summer for trees to do that are really tall. And if it's poplar,
okay, so
it is common. So how often are you watering it?
Well, it gets watered with a sprinkler.
You may want to, every couple of weeks, just get some hose and sprinklers and sprinkle for an extra couple of hours to make sure that tree is getting enough water because those poplars are native. Is your radio on? Okay, turn it down if you would. We're getting a little bit of feedback.
Okay. I've actually, I'm on an extra couple.
Make sure that tree can get enough water because those plants are native. Is your radio on?
So you're getting the feedback. Mm-hmm. You're getting the feedback from the programming. There you go.
Yes.
Much better.
Okay, there. That's much better. So what I would recommend doing is deep watering under the tree with lawn sprinklers every couple of weeks for just a few hours to drive water more deeply. Those poplars are native along waterways and lakes, you know, and or where there's a really shallow water table and they're riparian trees and we're in the middle of a drought. And so if you have to cut back to watering just twice a week, the state has made an exception for trees to keep them viable and healthy. So you would be justified on a day where you can water running those sprinklers twice a month for an extra period of time under the canopy of the trees.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll try that. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right. Thanks for your call.
Appreciate it.
Next listener, Ton, is wondering what they should do about fertilizing when they're not watering that much for the rest of the summer due to the drought.
You know, we want those lawns to be a little more dormant, and so they could maybe skip the summer fertilization or cut it in half.
Okay. Next person says, is it too late to plant 4 o'clocks this year?
If they can find starts, no. A lot of times garden centers will have 4 o'clocks that you can just put from a gallon can or, you know, a larger, you know, 4-inch or something that would be fine. If they were trying to do them from seed, it is getting a bit late.
Okay. Any idea who they would see had them?
Any place that will carry native plants, one thing they could do is maybe call Perennial Favorites up in Layton to see if they, you can't buy from them directly, but they are a vendor for many garden centers. They could call and see if they were delivering 4 o'clock, so they had them in and where they were delivering them to purchase them. That would be one thing locally. Progressive Plants sometimes has such things that are a little unique. And then if you talk to garden centers, sometimes they'll say, hey, this guy over here specializes more in natives. You could talk to them.
All right. Let's take a break for the bottom of the hour news. The number to call, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was 3 blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.